time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
You've spent the last 9 months telling everyone who they should vote for. But when election day comes, you're at the Skin Shack, spreading your wealth to Diamond and Misty.
Is that your idea of going?
Then, you call your non-vote a political statement.
We call it a cop-out, yeah.
So the next time you hear people yammering on about how voting doesn't matter because they're all a bunch of crooks, peel your I Voted Today sticker off your shirt and slap it over the mouth of Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer, a real American hero.
Mr. Non-Voting Political Complainer.
I vote for you go play in traffic.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, November 3rd, a day after Election Day. Did you vote, Kara?
I got my vote on, yeah. I rocked the vote.
You rocked the vote.
I did get there like 10 minutes before it closed.
Really?
You know me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not going anywhere.
So a day after the election in California, votes for more of the same. And very disappointing, I think.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I feel like there's a deep-seated mentality in the state that's, you know, just like you could say Texas has a deep-seated mentality and it just runs deep. There's just a depth of, like, I don't know. I think people associate Democratic a certain way. They associate Republican a certain way. And they don't really stop to really go, wait a minute, what's working? And it's,
yeah,
you know.
People vote along party lines. And that's the thing. I think people will vote Democrat in California no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know. But,
yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's not like they won by much. You know, there were no landslides or anything. But at the same time, you know, I mean, the Democrats vote,
what is
were
it like?
Elected.
Yeah, so Jerry Brown, who was elected previously.
Yeah, he was in politics here in the 70s, you know. And,
apparently didn't do a great job, but apparently good enough to get a second go at it.
Yeah.
That's what's weird to me is that, you know, I'm not saying that Meg Whitman or that Carly Fiorina have like spotless records or that they're the best, but I'm saying, what have they done? You know what I mean? And you look at the people we've had in and you go, what have they done? And I just feel like if you just look at, like, you know, track records, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And plus, you know, I mean, I'm all for change. I mean, look, the rest of the country has voted Republicans into Congress and many governors and stuff, but I don't know. California is still, you know, what I can't believe is that the marijuana initiative didn't go through because there seems to be so much commotion about it and so many people.
You know, there's so many people that are very loud, that their voices are loud. They're, you know, they've got some media, they've got whatever. And you think that this is representative of how people feel. It's not normally.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, you know, is that these are people that voted no are people that feel they can tell you how to live your life, you know, what's good for you and what's not good for
I
you.
I voted no.
Yeah. Okay, but well, you don't have any vested interest in it.
I don't. And, you know, I'm not really impassionate about it. And, you know, I went with what I believed personally on it. But I understand that if...
So I'm curious, why would you vote no against it? What would it do to you if it passed?
You know, it's not for me that people shouldn't be able to use it medicinally or even recreationally or whatever. I just felt like there was a lot of ambiguity in the law. Mm-hmm. And that was really why I voted more no on it. And I felt like, you know, it allowed people that were high to come to work high. And that they would not...
No, I don't think that's the case, because it's the same with alcohol. You
well,
know?
No, I thought it would be the same with alcohol, too, but there's a lot of ambiguity written in that prop. So that's why for me, it was like, you know what, it's not as clear cut. I think it's the same thing with like with when people see ambiguity and like, I mean, this is not the same thing, but I'm just making a point that like even with Arizona state law for the immigration, it's not that I disagree with it. It's just that the ambiguity leads to chaos and leads to, it's like if it's too much room for people to kind of break and bend and this and that. And I kind of felt like in this situation, there was a lot of ambiguity as well. And I just personally don't agree with it either. So that's why I voted. But again, I'm not impassioned about it. This isn't something that if it were to pass, I'd be furious, you know, or anything like that. But that's how I voted. You asked, I told you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's your right.
And
I mean,
it's so funny how
voting's about.
Yeah, and then you voted clearly for it. But you know what's funny is you go back on a lot of things you say. Like you'll be
really?
Well, yeah, hear me out. And I think it's quite charming actually. It's very funny because you'll be like, yeah, porn stars, talk about whatever I want. And then you're like, I don't respect that vocation. I don't take it serious. I'm like, are you serious? You like love Howard Stern? And you're like, no, but I'm not interested in it. I think it's gross. And then it's like, you know, marijuana thing comes up and you're like, yeah, smoke marijuana, no big deal. And then you're like, yeah, I don't think it's right.
I never said that.
You go back and listen to the show. You were like talking
about...
pot? You know, not necessarily about pot, but about, right. You're like legalizing it. You're like, I don't really think it's right. I don't know. You were like
I never said that.
Dude, go back and listen to the show.
I never
yes,
said
you
that.
Did.
There is no way.
There is no way
I've ever said that, you know?
I'm going to find it in the
show.
I'm
all for coffee shops in L.A., but it's not going to happen now. Yeah, I just think, you know, it's
like,
much cooler than alcohol in bars. That's what I think.
You know, is there hypocrisy there? Probably. There's probably some hypocrisy.
Not
yours. I'm saying just like with the view. I mean, I've heard the arguments. I think there's a lot of great compelling arguments that basically say it should, you know, maybe it should be decriminalized.
It's just that this country has demonized marijuana.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, there's a lot of different views on that. And this definitely exists. I can't deny that.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to say that kids would get it easier and stuff, that's not true at all. Kids already have it as easy as they can, you know. It's just all over the place. So people have it, you know. Well, what can you do? Anyway, so we don't get Meg Whitman.
I'm bummed.
Are you really?
I am. I just feel like...
Did you think she was going to be good?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you know, looking at what she's done with eBay and how she's already done so well with it, I think that, yeah, she has a track record of being a great business CEO. And I feel like, you know, you look at the needs right now and how long is the term, she can't be all things to all people. She's not going to be the best. She's not going to be the greatest. But I think fiscally is one of the biggest concerns and economically that California stands.
Right.
And I feel like she's the best for the job.
Yeah, but, you know, that works in the private sector. I don't know how it would work in politics. You know,
well, I mean, it's kind of like Carly Fiorina was talking about. You know, you've got unaccounted financial waste spending, mm-hmm. and it's unaccounted. It's unaccounted for. Like, how does that – when you come from a business background where you actually have to earn your keep, mm-hmm. you know, you have to earn your keep and your company's public and you have stockholders and you have to account for where the money's going and spending. Right. And she said that in office, people that entitlement programs, even if they don't – certain programs, even if they do not meet their standard requirements, they're still given a 37% increase each year.
Mm.
Like there's waste. There's a lot of waste,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I don't think that government's all business. And I don't agree with, you know, I mean, it's not just business, but I think, again, you look at the state of your, you know, the political climate and your state and your city, and you go, what is the biggest need right now that's crucial?
Right.
And I really don't, I don't really think it's, social. I don't really think it's a lot of these other issues. I think it's economic, and I think it's, you know, people need jobs. Well, you know, let's get businesses in that create jobs. Let's not get rid of them. You know?
I just think that Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina are not really likable, and that's why a lot of people, I think, voted against them.
Likable?
You
know? How likable is Barbara Boxer? She's
well,
not very likable.
Yeah, but
she's just
been
ancient.
Around.
She's been there forever.
Yeah.
People, I think, are just like, keep it. I think that, again, the Democratic mindset and you know, California, it's a different kind,
yeah,
you know? It's
yeah.
a different kind, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
There's a lot of liberals in Hollywood and the rest of the state. And
well, I mean, it's like, I said this to people, like, being conservative, you know, and I mean, conservative should have its own, like, everything has its definition, but, you know, culturally speaking, being conservative in Texas versus being conservative in L.A. are two different things. They're not too different, but they're different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a different, you know. So being mm-hmm. liberal in one state versus being liberal here.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a different, totally different zone. It's a different depth.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know.
Yeah, being liberal here is totally different in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus other parts of the country that people are, you know, consider themselves liberal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sliding scale, I guess. But
yeah. Apparently, well, people voted for more of the same. What can I say, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to get. That's what we're going to get, you know? Well, by voting no on Prop 19, you gave up a lot of tax revenues and new jobs and things like that.
Well, that's debatable. A lot of people think it's not necessarily.
Why? It's a new industry that would be legitimized.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different views on, you know, how it would be taxed, this, that, and the other, and how the business would be run, and that it not necessarily.
Yeah, but these are the details, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it's debatable, and that wasn't my main focus for voting against or for it, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Jerry Brown, you know, we'll see if we're going to get more taxes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so my polling place was a fucking Scientology church.
Was it?
Yeah. They call it a church. It's just a, like a little store on Ventura Boulevard where they sell Dianetics and stuff.
Did they try to like...
No, I don't think they had any of them there, you know? I mean, it's just the people that work the polls.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, they're not allowed to
But they did have their Dianetics tapes and books displayed there, that's for sure.
Man.
Yeah. It's weird, huh?
It's crazy.
I know. I posted it on Facebook and everybody's like, be careful, be careful.
Yeah.
So they don't have such a great reputation, those Scientologists, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's another like subculture, and it's good if you're in the industry, you know. It's
what like industry?
Hollywood. Oh. It's huge. It's huge. You know?
Yeah, I wonder why though.
I think that
just like empty people looking for a meaning, you know? And that's where they find it, I guess.
Well, a lot of people think it's just like power of positive thinking, psychology. It's just basically self-realization and actualization. Those are big words. But my point is they kind of, this whole idea of you don't take medicine, you just, you know, you heal yourself. You're almost like God,
yeah.
Essentially.
Are you privy to some of these things? I mean, do you know what's going on in that?
I wouldn't say I'm like an expert, but I know enough to go, okay, it sounds like a cult to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my opinion. I know people that are Scientologists that are pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
But I think that anything that's... I think when your mortality and your livelihood of your soul is dependent upon your own effort, I think it's... It's very, I think it's, at the end of the day, it's very indirectly egotistical, and I think we're incapable. So I think that although we can take steps to have a positive attitude and we can control certain things, I think it's really above our pay grade to really think that we are God. And I think that, you know, that's essentially a lot of, you know, stuff like this, I think, kind of goes back to that. Like, you're basically your own God, God and you are one kind of thing, and you are God.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start acting like God, and you need to start, you know, don't have a negative thought, don't have a bad day, make sure everything's up. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, you can't ever just be human, because if you let it down, then you're causing an illness. You're you know, you're blocking, you know, the flow and the energy of the things you need to come into your life. It's basically like, have you read The Secret? Or heard about The Secret?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the laws of attraction, you know, which I don't disagree with the laws of attraction, but I think that there's some missing components that people don't talk about, which is you're taking a principle and it's now become self-serving. And I don't think that that's at all, like, just because you want to have a private jet or you want to have this kind of career or you want to have that, I mean, doesn't mean that, you know, if you think about it all day or you know, strategically put yourself in positions to kind of, you know, gain leverage for those things, does not mean you're going to get it.
Right.
And
yeah,
I don't think that that's what's really good about it anyway. What's good about really just wanting to always advance yourself? You know, like, how is that really just good? It's so selfish, you know?
Why? I mean, I think that's kind of a human nature. You
well,
know?
I mean, human nature doesn't mean it's good. I
to,
definitely
to
I don't
progress.
Well,
and,
I don't mean
in advance.
Well, listen, I don't mean progressing, advancing in and of themselves. Those words, that's not bad to want to better your situation or be the best that you can be. Absolutely. But to be it's all about you all the time. To me, that's not really living. That's consuming. It's existing. It's like me. That's like I want to be God. Where I think life really exists when we empty ourselves and pour out into other people. And then I feel like when we really are giving to people and I don't mean just like through finances. I mean through just, you know, listening to people, being friends, prioritizing relationships, reaching out to people. I feel like that's where you really experience true life. It's a, like a cyclical effect, and you really get loved on, and you're loving people. And I feel like that means sometimes when you prioritize relationships and stuff, it means that you're not putting yourself first a lot of times, which is contradictory to a lot of these philosophies.
Yeah. You're making it way too complicated for me. I can't even follow that.
No, that's okay. That's go okay. Back and listen to the show and you take notes. You'll get it. I think you understand what I mean. It just maybe it's a little too wordy. But
no, it's not only that, but I'm kind of sleepy today because, you know, I had a tooth implant like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did? Let me see. Let me see the smile.
No, you can't see anything. There's no tooth there yet. It's got to stay there 4 months. They put like a screw in your jaw. And it has to stay there for about 4 months before they put a tooth on it.
Why?
Because it has to sort of like mesh in with the bone, you know? So, at any rate, it started hurting me, you know, and I went yesterday.
Well, a screw in a jawbone, that's enough to make me hurt.
Yeah, I know, but it really hasn't hurt since I got it done. But then the past few days, it's been really hurting. So I went to the dentist and everything, they checked it, so they gave me some Vicodin, you know, and I had to take like 4 yesterday, you know, because they would last for an hour and then the pain would come back, you know.
Oh, man, are you serious?
And, yeah, so I'm a little sleepy this morning.
Man, don't turn into Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie, no, I won't.
Yeah, the show on Showtime.
Oh, is she like on drugs and stuff?
She's a nurse that has a pill addiction because she has some pain, but then it's become like she needs it all the time. But she's
really?
Also, it's kind of a cool character because she's got like this dark side, but she's also like very benevolent and loving. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, it's a really interesting.
Yeah, no, I can see the appeal in painkillers and in that, but I don't think I'd make a habit of it. You know, it's just it's not, you don't feel normal. You know, it's not like. I don't know. It's just like you can tell there's, it's like strong medication. That's what it is. You know? So.
Well, I'm wondering too if you really have legitimate pain, if it doesn't cause, if it's not addictive. I don't know if because it's going to the source of the pain.
Yeah, but it's still, I think still it would narcotic. Be addictive. Yeah, because it makes you feel like you're buzzing, you know? So.
Yeah.
So some people probably like it.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. I enjoy it, but I don't think I'd get into it. So it's more for the pain, really. But like I said, it barely has been working, which I can't really believe, you know.
That means you're in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like throbbing pain, you know.
Oh, I hate
but
that.
But now it's okay. So I didn't take any this morning.
Oh,
so
that's good.
It seems to be okay.
That's really good. No, I had my wisdom tooth pulled.
Yeah.
And they were like, bye. I said, excuse me. I was like, no, because it was already hurting when I went in because it was like kind of starting to get to where it was like, we need to get out. And they're like, okay. And I was like, no, you need to hook it up.
Yeah.
And they gave me like extra strength, like Advil.
Yeah.
And it was like killing me.
Yeah. I know. I tried Advil. Didn't do it.
I put, they gave me like the medical kind, but it still wasn't. I was like, are you kidding me? And I didn't want to. I'm really cautious about taking too much of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. So I really only took the recommended amount, which was 1 every 4 hours.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Right.
So I would take it and it would last maybe an hour and a half. And then I'd be like, for the rest of the hour, it's just like, like drooling with an ice pack on my.
Yeah.
On my.
You see, amazingly, I had like 2 extractions and this dentist is amazing. I mean, the moment the numbing goes away, you don't feel anything.
Really?
I mean, no pain, no nothing.
Really?
I'm telling you. Even after he put the implant in, I didn't feel anything. It's just like 2 weeks later, now I'm feeling something. And he said there might be a little infection there or something. So.
So 2 weeks later you're feeling it. So did he, have you got it checked? Is there an infection?
Yeah, he said there's a little infection, so he gave me some antibiotics and some pain pills, you know. So hopefully it'll go away. I don't know.
How long did you take the meds?
Well, the antibiotics you take until you finish them. So, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks?
Wait, 2 weeks, but you don't drink, so you're good.
I suppose I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you drink at the party, the Halloween party?
Yeah, there really wasn't much alcohol left, but I just had like a drink.
Oh, really? Yeah. There wasn't much left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had something that was clear and liquid over rock. Over ice, over rocks. That sounds like a lush. Yeah. Over rocks.
But I gotta tell you, it's like Jeff's parties, they're always the same. You know, the same food, the same people
really?
Serving. and stuff. Yeah, because he already got it figured out, you know, so it's like
he was cool, dude. I think it's great. He had a cute home and he opened it up and let people come in. And I mean, it's great, especially in this town, if you have a home and you like let people, you know, when we did Halloween, there were people that, and it's a really nice area on Beachwood, that people just opened up their homes. And this one lady was like, I've got chili. And we were like, we're going over there.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling
us. Oh, man. But isn't that cool? You just walk down people's streets and they're feeding you, and then there's candy, and then there's costumes.
Yeah.
If you guys go to my Facebook page, there's a really funny, okay, so there was a haunted house, a haunted yard, a backyard, and I'd already had a few drinks at this point, and I already planned when I went in there that I was going to try to, like, attack everyone that tried to attack me. So anytime they jump out at you or, I, like, grabbed them and almost threw one guy down.
You told us that, too.
Well, the pictures are up.
Oh, really?
They took a picture on
Facebook. So you put a picture of it?
It's on my Facebook page. My friend tagged me in it. It's really funny because I was... like it shows the scale.
I saw the picture of you being a rose garden.
Yeah.
You posted that.
Yeah, I did. I did. Wasn't it a cool outfit?
Not really.
You didn't like it?
No. No, I didn't think it suited you at all.
Oh, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like it?
Why didn't I like it? I don't think it made you look good. That's all. You know?
No, I had fun. I thought it looked cute.
Okay. That's why you wore it.
Yeah. It was a big bushy red bush.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd never think of that idea for a costume, but then again, you're very unusual in that way.
Why? Because I wear a costume on Halloween that makes me.
No, because your choice of costumes sometimes.
What
a
would
bumblebee.
You? What would I have been? What would you have me have been?
Marijuana
plant.
That's a good
plant?
Question. I don't know. I don't know. Schoolgirl or something.
Oh, come on.
With your short skirts and stuff, you'd look perfect.
I already have all that stuff, too. Yeah. It's not original. It's not fun.
Why? It looks good. Well, it's not that original. You're right. Yeah. What is it with your fucking phone there, man?
Dude, I'm on the air.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to know that. You need to know that and turn off the fucking phone.
Don't you love how he cusses me out every day?
I don't cuss you out. I just talk.
Well, you know what? You're crazy.
Yeah. And it's not every day because you didn't manage to make it in yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Are we going to do this again?
No, I know you don't want to talk about it, but people have noticed.
People have noticed. Don't use everybody to turn them against me. You guys, I'm going through a rough patch, and I'm coming up on the other side of it. Things are going to be fine.
Okay.
There we go. Boom. Let's drink to that. I got a glass of water.
Yeah. You don't want me to rake it through the coals, huh?
No. Have a little grace and understanding.
Yeah?
Yeah. What?
I can't be understanding. I'm sorry.
I know you can't, but you can try. Well, you know, even if you can't be understanding, you can be like, you know what?
Yeah.
When she does show up here, she does a great job.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to torture you on the air. I mean, I said what I had to say.
He sure did, guys.
But you're lucky I had a guest here in the studio yesterday, because if I hadn't, I would have been really pissed. Because to cancel the show when we had a guest calling in would have been pretty lousy. So it worked out.
So he's still continuing. Like, we're still having a conversation about it right now. Let it go, Sam. We've already talked about this. Anyway, how much are you missing your wife?
No, but inquiring minds want to know.
How much are you missing your wife?
A lot. She's going to be back Friday.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Aw.
She's back in Paris now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for a couple of days, and then she'll be back.
Aw.
You should see the pile of clothes of laundry that I did. I did the laundry. I just haven't folded it. So I'm going to have my wife's niece come in today and
do you pay her to do this?
No, but she owes me a lot. Are you kidding?
How does she owe you a lot?
Because we've done so much for her.
Oh, that's how it is. You should do it from your heart and not expect anything.
Exactly, and I have, but now it's time to pay up.
So that doesn't really sound like a, hey, we're doing this because we love you. That sounds more like a,
no.
Hey, you remember that everything you have in your life
that
I gave you?
Well, I'm sure she's not crazy about doing it, but then again, you know, not everything you do in life is pleasant. But I've got such a pile. I mean, look, at least I did the laundry. I put it in the machines and everything. I sorted it.
Are you going to have somebody come and wipe your ass and brush your teeth for you?
No, that's not what I want. The moment I get to that point in my life, I want to go.
Really?
Yeah.
You're done?
Yeah. I can't handle thinking of somebody wiping my ass. That's too much.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad, but, you know, I mean, what kind of a life is it when other people wipe your ass?
Well, what about people that grow up and they're paralyzed or they have a thing?
I know. That's terrible. That's terrible. I don't know,
you
know? What
I'm
doing.
I mean, it's humiliating. And I mean, it sucks, but it's kind of like, well, you know, life is bigger than just that. I mean, they're still living. They have purpose and meaning. And
I suppose.
You know?
Yeah. I salute the people that take those jobs where they'll wipe your ass. I mean, what the hell is that? Who would want to get a job like that, you know? And yet a lot of people do.
Well, everybody needs a job. What about people that are trash men?
Yeah, but...
Garbage
you know,
men. I mean, everybody's got a job to do. They do their job. Maybe it's a stepping stone to the next thing. And, you know, some people change bedpans.
But usually people that do this are people that want to do this. You know, like
well,
compassionate nurses.
Yeah, that's not just... They're not just going, hey, I can't wait to get that ass wiping job. I love it. Love me some good ass wiping. I don't think that's what's going on. I think that they have a love for people that are maybe elderly or people that... You know, they really feel like they have a purpose helping that those people.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
A friend of mine, she's going to school and she's going to be working in hospice. And she said she didn't think that was the field she wanted to go into. But she said it's a very spiritual experience and that people are towards the end of their life. And you're kind of there to help them transition and have a pleasant as much as pleasant as they can. And she
right.
said it's she said she just felt a real big sense of purpose in doing it and really was very.
Yeah.
Gratifying.
I would imagine that's probably one of the main reasons they do it. Otherwise, I can't imagine why they would, you know, choose
yeah,
that
but I think
path.
It's the same thing with people that, you know, they need you to feed them or bathe them or things like that.
Right.
They
yeah.
feel like, you know, this person is in a very vulnerable, very fragile state, and they need somebody they can trust and feel comfortable with and somebody to love them through it and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know I couldn't do it. I'm so fucking shallow, you know.
Well, I mean, what if it was your wife? What if she got sick?
And I'd get some help. I'd get some help. I don't think as a spouse you're supposed to wipe their ass. You know, you get someone to help out.
Okay, what if this? Because this happened in a movie. This woman ended up getting cerebral palsy, and then she got kind of like paralyzed. And, you know, there's just times when they would be lying in bed, and she used to wear diapers, and she totally, like, you know, let it rip one night because she
right.
couldn't help it and she was so embarrassed. He's like, no problem, and he like got a new diaper.
Wow, yeah, what a loving husband. That's
you
good.
wouldn't do that for your wife?
I don't know. No.
Sam. She just crunched herself, you know, right next to you in the bed and she's embarrassed.
I couldn't do it. I'd fucking throw up. Are you kidding me? When I see dogs fucking shitting, I want to throw up. It's so disgusting.
What about your kids when they were growing up in diapers?
Yeah, know? Well, they were babies, you know. I mean,
that stuff's
different.
Nasty, though.
And it's your kids, too. Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, but I mean, it's not like adult shit. What do you mean it's nasty? It's not like adult shit, you know? But no, when it's your kids, when they're babies, it's a different thing, really. I mean, I didn't think I'd be able to handle it, but I did. You know?
Oh, you're such a cruel man.
Why?
I don't know.
I just said I was involved with my kids and everything. Why am I cruel?
No, I'm just saying, like, your wife's sitting there and you know, her...
No, I probably would, you know.
Better.
I don't know. I just... I'd call the ambulance. Come and clean up my wife's shit, you know?
Oh, that's sad. I mean, I get it. Like, if I was married and I was having issues like that, I totally would not want my husband to be up in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just be like, you need to go.
Yeah.
I'll figure this out. Leave me a phone and leave
see?
The room.
You see?
Don't come back. Because
yeah,
it's more of like, I want to keep that.
They're criticizing me.
No, I think as a woman, though, you're like, oh, I don't want him to see that, you know. But
yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I mean, but if I'm stuck and I'm stranded...
Yeah.
I'd be like, grab some baby wipes. Let's get on this and give me a new fresh diaper. You know, come on now. I need you to hop to it. I can't be sitting here getting like rash.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Mm. Oh.
Oh.
I'm thinking about it too much. Oh, okay, next subject.
Yeah, don't think about that too much.
My point is you never know what life's going to throw at you and you never know what challenges are going to lie ahead. And, you know, you love people. You're in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a strength that comes. There's a certain endurance that comes that you, I think that God gives people that have to, like, you know, walk that walk.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, life is tough, you know. I mean, you have to face these things. I'm just not dealing very well with getting older, you know. And not at this age, but, I mean, later on, you know. When
mm-hmm.
you reach, like, 80s and shit, you know, you need support. You need assistance. Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me. We'll see.
So,
So that's the situation. Well, do you want to live a long life?
Until
you're like 90 or something?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know. I mean, I want to live a purpose life. I want to live a life of significance, and I want to live a life that's full of love. And if that is 50 years or 100 years, you know. And, you know, it's, I really don't know, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You haven't thought about it?
I never really think about it. Do you?
Really? Yeah, I do all the time.
Really?
Yeah. It's like I wonder what age I'm going to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because you're 50?
No. No, I think I've always wondered that.
Really?
Yeah. But it is getting closer now. No, but I think I still got a good 20, 30 years in me if my body is going to take it, you know?
Well,
I don't know. At this rate, I'm not so sure. But
I think there's a lot that's... I mean, when I ran that marathon, there's people that were like old running.
I know, but they ain't smoking, let me tell you.
Well, kick it, man.
They ain't sitting on their ass all day either.
You can kick all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah,
I can't imagine smoking forever, man. It's already, you know, I mean, I've got like, you know.
30 years?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, I just like have shortness of breath and stuff sometimes.
Oh,
you know,
really?
And things like that. So I can really feel it, you know.
Yeah. Can you start cutting down to like maybe 2 cigarettes a day or 3?
2 from 20.
Oh, from 20?
Yeah.
Shit, Sam.
Yeah.
What about 10?
I smoke a whole pack a day.
Can you do 10?
Yeah, if I really tried.
Okay, how about 15? Can you just start five, like each week cut
yeah,
down?
Yeah, but I don't want to count them. That's like the hardest
part. Oh, come on, this is your health. You got to put a little effort into it. So
no,
listen.
So I'm just, you see, that's the thing. You can't like be half a smoker, you know? So you just got to quit when you do. I mean, 15 cigarettes instead of 20 is not going to make a big difference.
Well, no, I'm thinking like 1 week do 15, the next week do 10.
Right.
You know, the next week do 5.
Yeah. I don't know. It makes sense, but I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't been down that path.
I think cold turkey is the best way to go.
Speaking of turkey, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Good question. I haven't figured it out yet. My wife's not back yet, so when she is, I'm sure we'll figure out.
My wife's not back. I don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
So she takes care of all that.
Yeah, I mean, don't women usually take care of the social part of life?
Well, I'm a woman, and I'm not with anybody, so all I know is I do that. But my friends and I, we all do that stuff.
Yeah.
But not because...
But if you had a guy, you'd still... Or, you know, maybe not a boyfriend, but... Or even then, you know?
Yeah.
But especially when you're married, the women make the arrangements, the social arrangements.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think it's generally like that.
Yeah.
I like having carte blanche on that, too. When I was dating the dude in Texas, I liked being able to go, we're going to be here, we're going to be here, we're going to be here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, cool. Or he'll... bitch a little bit, but then I win, you know.
Yeah,
you know, but so, but he liked it because it was like it brought a lot of life to his life, you
yeah
know?
Yeah. So is he like now disappointed since he thought you were moving there?
He's very disappointed. He won't talk to me.
Oh really?
He hasn't. We wow. Like we haven't talked since I got back from Texas.
Wow.
Or we talked once or twice, and
until you change your mind.
And then, you know, I was going anyway, we talked like once or twice, and then he never called me back. I called him once, he didn't call me back, and then I sent him an email, and that was it.
And there was no response.
And I mean, even though I'm really sad about the way things went down, and I'm really sad for him, and I feel really bad about that. I mean, I love this person, you know. I mean, it's not just a person, somebody I love. But I also feel like the bigger picture is like we both know that this is the right thing.
Right.
Right now, at least.
Yeah. And
it's
you
like,
knew that before, you know?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't being honest with myself, and I didn't really want to, you know, really deal with everything. And I mean, it's hard when you love a person, but it's not right. You know what I mean? Mm. That's a really complicated situation because it's not that you don't love the person. You're not moving in the same direction, and
right.
You know, you keep thinking, well, what if I do this and I give up this and he gives up that and I give up this and he gives up that and we can make it work. And it just got to where he's just
it gets too complicated.
It
know?
Is
you
and it's like he's
that.
Like I just don't want that kind of a relationship, you know. Like out here, people and friends of mine that are married, there's a lot of people have alternative type marriages, and I don't mean like swingers, I mean like the way they operate, like somebody goes on the road or they'll visit them on set, or you know, right. There's a lot of traveling involved, but they make it work, you know. And then he's super Texas, you know, which isn't bad. I love that about him. But he really wants it to where it's like we're together and we live together.
Right.
You know.
And have a family.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But I just can't do it at the expense of my dreams and what I've invested in. You know?
That's why I knew all along you were not going.
Well, Sam knew
every time. Yeah.
Well, in my heart, like, I mean, I love him so much, so I was kind of like drowning it out. But in my heart, I kind of felt like when we were together, I didn't really feel like myself. Mm-hmm. I felt like he didn't really want to address the whole performer side of me and the entertainment. And I kind of felt like it's in one way he was supportive. He's very supportive of the show and everything. But he really, I mean, it started to kind of feel like I didn't feel like he took me serious or was respecting me in that area. Mm. And I'm like, look, man, I do things that average people don't do. I have, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, but I have skills and talents that average people, your everyday dude doesn't have.
Right.
And I'm going to not use them. I'm going to go through life and not use them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you have an amazing talent and you just don't ever use it.
Right.
You know, whatever that is. Let's say it's something that randomly.
Yeah, no, it's a waste if you don't, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, absolutely. And I just kind of was like, why am I going to just stop everything because this person? And I'm like, well, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there could have been a plan C, and that is just you moving back without being with him. You know?
No, which was, well, here was how it was going to go down. It was going to go, okay, I'm just going to take a break from Los Angeles, go back to Houston,
right,
and just regroup and get on my feet. Mm. In that process, you know, he and I had been talking for a year, and we had seen each other a few times. And
right.
In that process, somehow, our relationship looked like it can really thrive, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very clear that this wasn't me moving back to Playhouse and set up shop and us being a relationship, but
right.
it was for me to get on my feet, and you know, and he said he understood that, but you know, he wasn't being very honest with what he wanted either,
right.
so
yeah.
it got really messy. I mean, right. not messy, but it just got like we weren't really addressing the bigger picture,
right.
And then I said, you know what, I'm not going to move there anymore. I'm going to move to Austin because it's a city that's creative. It has a little bit of what I want to do.
Right.
I can regroup and then I'll move back to LA.
Right. You see, that could have been a plan.
Well,
also,
that was the plan at the end of the. That was my last thing
right.
I was going to do, and that's when he was like, "What?" I'm like, "Well, you know, you don't want me in LA. You don't want me in Austin." And he said, "If I move to Houston, he doesn't want me traveling and doing the road."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, then what the hell am I? What do you want me to do?"
Yeah, no, your priorities are totally different.
Yeah, I'm like, so he's like, "I don't want you there. I don't want you here." I'm like, "And if you're here, I want you this." And I'm like, "This sucks, man. Like, you want somebody else." I said, "Listen, you want me to be somebody
exactly.
I'm not."
Exactly.
And at one point, he said, "I think you're right." Is what he said, because I think you're right.
Yeah, because you're not what he's looking for. You know,
yeah,
I mean, he may love you and everything.
He did.
But
and the thing is he fell in love with somebody that doesn't fit what he wants.
Yeah.
So he's got to kind of either adjust what he wants or he's got to find somebody else. So.
Absolutely.
So it's a sad thing. It's sad, but I got to be honest. I feel relief.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not. I mean, I cried once about it because I felt really bad for him, and I felt like, you know, possibly, you know, I could have been clear. I should have maybe been more protecting of his emotions and feelings. I can't totally do that, but I could have been more,
right.
you know, just really looking out for him more. And I felt like maybe I wasn't, and I feel bad about that. But I also feel like a sense of freedom and relief. And I feel like since I've given up that whole going back to Texas and being with him, I feel like
right.
the doors have opened.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Because it would have been like, I mean, and it costs money to move too, you know. It would set you back quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then you have to start from scratch, start from negative. And, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like it would have been like a piece of cake for you.
No, it wouldn't have. And I mean, I think ultimately, like in my spirit, I knew that it was me running away. And it was because I didn't see a way here and everything. It's like, living here and you have a lot of things you have to do to get things to work. So like you have to do a bunch of little things here that are completely like just grunt work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a vision and a goal, then you're fine with it. You can do all those things. But when you start to see that vision and goal is not around in sight and you start to get tired, you don't want to do all those things anymore. You're like, well, screw this. If I'm going to have to do all this grunt work and all this menial stuff, I'd rather do it. I'd rather do it in a place that I like. It's easier to live and I enjoy it,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I was. But I mean, you know, I really feel like God is good, and I feel like the Lord has really lifted some burdens and doors have opened. And I mean, I feel completely, honestly, it was really getting dark, people. My friends, I had two friends, they were like, you are crazy right
now.
Really? I had two friends that were like, you are crazy.
Yeah.
Two close friends were like, separately.
Well, then don't let yourself get to that point again.
Well, it's life, man, and I think it's really living.
It is life.
I think if anything's really, I mean, listen, if anything's really worth it to you and you've got a purpose and a vision and you're really believing in something, then, you know, there's going to be devastating points in your life. There's no way around it, and I think it's more glory to God when you get back up on your feet and life turns around. I mean, it's not supposed to be a cakewalk, you know?
No, I mean, shit happens, but it's just the way you address it, the way you view it.
Well, I mean, only God can judge that process because...
No, you can judge it too, because the thing is that you have to do things that work for you in your life, you know?
Well, I see what you're saying, like, you know, don't let yourself get that low, but I don't think that... I really don't see it as totally negative is what I'm saying. I think if you stay there, that's obviously awful, but it's not who I am to stay in a depressive state. It's not me. So if I'm going there, it's because there's something really, really, really hard.
Right.
And it's not necessarily, I think it's almost like a reality check. And it's, I think for me, it's kind of was like, I'm really seeing a different side of things. And I think when you pull out of it, it's like there's a deeper appreciation and a deeper gratitude and a deeper motivation.
Probably. But know? I mean, do you really want to go through these hard times? You know?
No, nobody does. So absolutely. Nobody wants to. But I'm saying, right. I just think that, you know, everybody's life is different. Everybody's path is different. All I can speak from is my own really personal experience. And for me, it's like I'm not here just existing. I'm living here and I've got everything's big and what
right,
I want. And
right.
So, you know, sometimes the highs are highs and lows are lows. And all I'm saying is, you know, I didn't will myself to go to that place.
No, I know. But you know, I mean, your choice was to run away, you know, and,
Sam,
you know, and
everybody
and like, leave behind all that you've built in 10 years. You know?
I mean, you don't understand. Like, it's...
I guess I don't.
Well, part of it's totally running, but part of it's just, you know... having to go further than you've ever thought, like in your faith, or having to go further in work that you've ever done, and you're exhausted and you don't see a way, and it's like you don't have the vision anymore. And
right.
I think that things have to be resurrected and rebuilt, and you have to have more life breathed into you. And I mean, all I'm saying is I see that I feel like that's connected. I feel like the fact that it got that intense, I feel like things are even better now. I don't know. I mean, that's just for me.
That's the thing, you know. I mean, when you emerge from something, sometimes you come out stronger.
Yeah, and I do. I feel like it's just all part of the fabric. And it gives me a deeper understanding. I think anytime, you know, the Bible says, it says, like, you know, to whom those who have been forgiven much love much. It's like if two people owe a debt, like, let's say Sam owes this person $5 and I owe them $500 and this guy forgives both of our debts, who's going to have a bigger excitement and gratitude? Mm-hmm. The person who owed $500, right? Because
right.
it was such a weight lifted.
Right.
And I feel like when you go through these hard times in life, there's an opportunity where you're like, man, I just have a deeper understanding for other people's situations, and I can relate to them and love them in a way and speak encouragement and life, you know? And it's really interesting because during this time, there's been a lot of friends that have been watching and people wanting to know and people that don't know me very well what's going on. And I know that just the process has encouraged other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, in very intimate, deep ways. So I just look at it all as like it's very personal. It's very... You know, life isn't about it's not about skating around the hard times, you know. You're going to go through it, and I did, and I still am.
But, yeah.
You know.
Well, we're happy you're here. How's the new job? You still enjoying
it? It's good.
That?
You know, it's good. And for those, you guys don't know. So I booked a gig yesterday. Woohoo! I'm doing voiceover for a TV show on the Disney Channel. And I don't know which one it is yet, but I'll be doing Lady Gaga's voice.
Really?
Yes.
Is it going to be like a cartoon or something?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be doing yet, but it's more a song. I think I'm singing a song.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be part of the show, so I think
I mean, when you auditioned, were you able to sound like her?
Yeah, I mean, I went in there and I was like, hey, guys, listen, I've never really worked on her voice because she's not somebody I really imitate too much because she's already so crazy. Like,
right.
It's like, what are you gonna... And I don't think... She's that interesting of a... I mean, she's so already out there, and I think she's great, but I think if you're going to imitate her, she's already her own caricature, and I love that about her. So I'm like, ah. But, I think I sounded pretty close to her. They wanted somebody that had that kind of tone.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really fun.
Yeah. And you're good at that. I mean, you have that in your act, right? Where you
I imitate a lot of artists.
Yeah.
And kind of make my own little picture of them. And so, yeah, I've got a show tonight if you guys are in Burbank, Flappers Comedy Club.
Oh, you there again tonight?
Yeah, she called me back.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't realize
really cool.
that.
And then I've got a huge show on the 17th at the Hollywood Improv. It's called Women Who Kill.
Oh.
Yeah. So
November 17th?
November 17th. It's a big show. You guys come out.
Okay, you'll have to tell us about it.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
November 17th. Yeah.
So tonight, Flappers.
Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. It's right at that whole intersection of where the AMC is and the whole shopping
center. IKEA.
Yeah,
and
it's on the other side of IKEA. It's that right, literally underneath the AMC. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great comedy club. It's new. It's beautiful. It looks good.
Maybe I'll check it out. What time is that at?
I'm going on at 7:30. So
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30 I think is when it starts.
Wow, that's early.
It's kind of early for a weekday.
Yeah, I have to meet my kids, but maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I can meet them tomorrow and come tonight.
Well, I want you coming on the 17th.
On the 17th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you come tonight, that's fine. But you're not getting out on the 17th.
Okay.
Do you see how I do this, people? I gotta pinpoint them down.
There you go.
I'm like, that's the date. Save it.
I know. I'm going to have to make it to one of your shows.
Well, because the 17th is going to be really fun. I mean, I don't know what the show is about tonight, but the 17th is just a really cool it's just a cool lineup. Women Who Kill. It's put on by Lisa Sunset, who has the longest running all-female show called Pretty Funny Women, which is the show I did before. But this woman, Lisa, just puts on these great shows of just killer awesome women comics, and it's like it's an honor to be a part of the shows because
because
sometimes I'll do shows and my friends have seen me and it's like I'll be the best or I'll be one of the best and it'll be like a huge gap between the talent, whereas her lineup, it's just they're all really great, so I'm always like nervous and I've got to bring my A game.
You know what I should do? I should bring like a video camera. I mean, you should put some of your routines on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have some of it on. I have some, little impersonations and stuff.
Right.
But I mean, it's always better to see stand-up live. It has a different energy, It doesn't...
Yeah, but if you want to get some exposure and stuff.
I have it on YouTube. I don't really work YouTube or market it too much, but yeah, I have it on YouTube.
Yeah, but... Yeah, like you can send people from Facebook to YouTube to check out your things, or even just post the video on Facebook, but let people know that you can do this and that you're funny.
You guys hear me out there?
Self-promote.
I kind of feel like just do what you're good at and it'll all work out.
No, people don't discover you. There's too many people out there.
I did get discovered actually at the last show.
Okay.
I did. I didn't tell you this?
No.
I didn't tell you this?
No.
Well, it's one of these things that you don't want to say because if it doesn't happen.
Right.
But it basically some people from ABC came up to me.
Really?
They have a show.
Uh-huh.
They have a show that I don't know if it's been picked up or not, but they said they've been looking for this role. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
It's a girl from the South who moves to L.A. to be a pop star.
Uh-huh.
And she's really curvy and voluptuous, and she has to be able to sing, and she's country.
Yeah.
And they said, you're the role. They're like,
you're
the
it. Role.
They're like, you're it.
You're it.
And, you don't know, and you don't know till you know, because anything can happen in this town. Like, it could not get picked up, or they'll forget about me. Anything can happen, but they were like, nope, you're it.
Really?
And my aunt was good. They're trying to get the aunt to be played.
But they didn't follow up with
it
anything.
It just happened. It just happened a few days ago.
Yeah.
So, some of that stuff takes time. But,
did they ask for your information?
Oh, yeah. They got it all. Yeah. They were, like, all about it. But the thing is it's something to be excited about. But in L.A., you never know.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, I've also had other people in the past, not only one other time, this group of women that you guys would know. I won't name their names, but there's, that were like, oh, you're hysterical. We're going to make you famous. And never heard from them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you got to.
It wasn't The View or anything.
No. It was, you get excited about it. But I really do believe that everything's in timing, and I believe it's in God's hands. And I think we try too hard to push and force things. And I think if we just do what's set before us and do great at it, it'll work out.
Okay. Hallelujah to that.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, Kira. Have a great, great day. And we'll see everyone tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.